Amen. We believe that tonight. Let us go to prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be in your house, Father. We're more thankful, Father, that we are your sons and daughters. We pray, Lord, that you'd open your word to us, Father. Continue to bring us closer into your image, Father, we pray. And we just pray, Lord, that you would anoint the words that your prophet has already spoken, Father, that we may echo them the correct way. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. This is part two of a three-part series of the gifts that were given to the church. And tonight we'll go over prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And first we'll start with prophecy. And this is directly from Brother Branham, but it has the scripture I would have read anyway. Now tonight, you who watch the text, let's turn in the Bible to the book of 2 Peter and begin with the 15th verse, just for a way of speaking on scripture for a few moments. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devices, fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. I love that. Eyewitnesses, not some fable. We are witnesses of what we're talking about. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to him from that, from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you may do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but the holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now I'm going to take this for a subject, God is his own interpreter. And that's from God is his own interpreter in 64. When Jesus was upon earth, he said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works." John 14:10. Here it is most evidently set forth that the perfect manifestation of God in the Son was by the indwelling Spirit manifesting in word and works. Not just word alone, but both. That is exactly what we have been teaching all along. When the bride will get back to being a word bride, she will produce the very works that Jesus produced. Amen. The Word is God. The Spirit is God. They are all one. One cannot work apart from the other. If one truly has the Spirit of God, he will have the Word of God. This is how it was with the prophets. They had the indwelling Spirit of God, and the Word of God came to them. That is how it was with Jesus. In him was the Spirit without measure, and the Word came to him. Amen. Amen. So if we have the Spirit, God is obligated to reveal and bring his Word to us. Amen. Jesus began to both do and teach. "My doctrine is not my own," he said, "but the Father's that sent me," Acts 1:1 and John 7:16. Remember now, John the Baptist was both the prophet and the messenger for his day. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. When he was baptizing in Jordan, the Word of God, Jesus, came to him. The Word always comes to the truly Spirit-filled. That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is what Jesus said would be the evidence. He said, "I pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Now we know what truth is. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. Again in John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Did you notice that? Jesus said that the world could not receive the Holy Ghost. So the pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh isn't necessarily the Holy, not the Holy Ghost, because they can't receive it. Well, in this verse I just read, neither could they receive the word. Why? Because the spirit and the word are one. And if you have the Holy Spirit as the prophets, the word would come to you. You would receive it. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Isn't that, that's truly the case. If you've ever noticed, when you go to testify or talk to somebody, the things of God just come flying back to your memory and you're able to recite them. And if you sat down somewhere and said, somebody said, hey, can you recite this? You probably couldn't, you know, but that's God's promise to you. He would be there. Here again, we find the word coming because of the Spirit of God. Again, in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, word, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Thy word is truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, word of God, that shall he speak, the word. And he will show you things to come. Spirit bringing the word of prophecy. I want you to note very carefully that Jesus did not say that the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, nor interpreting, or prophesying, or shouting and dancing. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth. You would be in the Word of God for your age. The evidence has to do with receiving. Evidence has to do with receiving the word. In 1 Corinthians 4:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now see that the proof of the indwelling spirit was to acknowledge and follow what God's prophet gave for his age as he set the church in order. Paul had to say to those who claimed another revelation, verse 36, what came the word of God out from you? These are questions. Or came it unto you only? The evidence of the spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth, the word, but to receive the truth, the word, and to believe it and to obey it. Now, what he means by that, the evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth. Why? Because then it would be something manufactured. But when the word comes to you and you have the truth, you will produce the word. So it has to be that way, not the other way. Have you noticed in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. See, the bride speaks the same word as does the Spirit. Can I read that again? The bride speaks the same word as does the Spirit. She is a word bride, proving she has the Spirit. In every church age, we hear these words. He hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word. If you have the Spirit, you will hear the word for your age. As those true Christians took to the word for their age, did you get that last thought? I repeat, every church age ends with the same admonition. He that hath an ear, let him, an individual, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word. He has truth for each age. Each age has had its own elect. And that elect group always heard the word and received it, and proving they had the seed in them. John 8:47, and he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. They refuse the word, Jesus, and his words for their day. But the true seed received the word because they were of God. And all thy children shall be taught of God, the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 54:13, Jesus said the same thing in John 6:45. Being one with the word proves whether you are of God and spirit-filled. No other criterion. But what are tongues and interpretations and other gifts? That's a question. They are manifestations. That is what the word teaches. Read it in 1 Corinthians 12:17. That's our theme scripture. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Amen? Then Paul names those manifestations. Now comes this very good question I know that you are all anxious to ask. Why isn't the manifestation an evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost? Because you surely could not manifest the Holy Ghost unless you truly were spirit-filled. Now, I wish I could say that is right because I do not like to hurt people or walk on their doctrine. But I wouldn't be a true servant of God if I didn't tell you the whole counsel of God. That is right, is it not? Just let us take a look at Balaam. He was religious. He worshiped God. He understood the proper method of sacrificing and approaching unto God. But he was not a true seed prophet, for he took the wages of unrighteousness, and the worst of all, he led the people of God into sins of fornication and idolatry. That God hates the most. I mean, of all things. Yet, who would dare to deny that the Spirit of God manifested through him? In one of the most beautiful partitions of absolutely accurate prophecy the world has ever seen. But he never had the Holy Ghost. Now then, what do you think of Caiaphas, the high priest? The Bible said that he prophesied the kind of death the Lord should die. We all know there is no record of him being a spirit-filled and a spirit-led man like dear old Simeon and that sweet saint called Anna. Yet, he had a genuine manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We can't deny that. So where is manifestation as an evidence? It isn't. There. If you are truly filled with the Spirit of God, you will have the evidence of the Word only in your life. And that's from the seven church ages in the Pergamian church age. The voice like a trumpet. Revelations 1:10. And heard began behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John was in the Spirit. And when he was, he saw the great and wonderful day of the Lord Jesus and all his holy power. The future was about to unfold, for God was about to teach him. John did not say it was a trumpet. It was like a trumpet. Now, when a trumpet is blown, it has an urgency about it. It is like the herald, the king's messenger, coming to the people. He blows on a trumpet. It is an urgent call. The people gather to listen. Israel was always assembled by the sounding of a trumpet. Something important is at hand. Listen to it. So his voice had the same urgency of appeal as did the trumpet. Clear and strong it was, startling and awakening. Oh, what we might hear the voice of God as a trumpet this day, for it is the gospel trumpet, sounding forth the word of prophecy to make us aware of and prepared for what is coming upon the earth. And that's from the Patmos Vision in the Church Age book. And next we'll talk about the diversity of tongues. How many knows that I don't claim to be a healer? I'm no healer. I'm your brother. See, God is your healer. See, I just pray for the sick. But God sent some in the church, first apostles, then prophets, and then teachers and evangelists, see? Then gifts of healing, then miracles, then diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All those gifts, according to the scripture, was set in for the perfecting of the church. Is that right? Now, God put them in there, Brother Branham said that. I would ask you where you see where God took them out. They're always available if God chooses to use them. Just like if he made a human being with an ear, he doesn't intend human beings not to have an ear to be deaf. He made man with mouth. He never made a man without a mouth, nose, so forth. That's the members of the body. Just as sure as my hand was, God made my hand to be my hand. God put some in the church to be gifts of healing. That's prayer of the faith, of course. Some of them in there to be teachers and evangelists. Now, what we've done, we've took all the rest of the body away and just said, no teachers, no evangelists. That's all there is. See? You recognize some of this? See, teachers and evangelists, we fail to see there's prophets, fail to see there's apostles. To fail to see there's gifts of healing, speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles. See, those things just go the same as my eyes and nose. Didn't Paul say that first Corinthians, see? They all go in the body. Now, these gifts are, you're born in the world with them. You don't just all of a sudden one day wake up with them. They came by sovereignty of God. Now, it was my part in this world to see visions. And I've heard people try to say that it was a prophetic or some forth. I've heard people say under the inspiration, I'd speak it that way. But it's a subconscious thing. It just, as I've explained it to you before, you can't dream a dream unless somebody made you dream the dream. God had to do it. In your subconscious, someone don't dream dreams. He can't help it. He never gets back into his subconscious. But your subconscious, when you dream, you're somewhere. And you remember. You remember dreams. You remember you dream years ago. Well, what part of you was where you were, where you dreamed? That it makes it. You still remember it. See, there's some part of you somewhere. Now, a seer, a prophet, their subconscious is not back there, neither is it here. It's right here in the middle. You don't go to sleep. You just break from one to the other. Now, Jesus Christ did the same thing when he was here on earth. Is that right? He looked down and perceived their thoughts in the audience. Is that right? Philip came to him. He said, why, there's a man that's good. In other words, we'd say today, a Christian, a believer. He said, when did you know me, Rabbi or Reverend Teacher? He said, before, he told Nathaniel, said, before Philip called you, you were under a tree and I saw you. He said, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Is that right? Now, Jesus said, these things you'll do also. Now, Jesus said, I don't do any healing now. I only do what the Father says to do. What he shows me, that I do. Now, he raised from the dead, living in his church, and just as the Father, now, do you get it? You get the running of the scripture, setting of the scripture, look, just as the Father will. And that's from the inside man. And then we'll go on to the interpretation of tongues. Let's show you how deeply I feel and understand this truth by a revelation God gave me. Now, before I tell it, I want to say this. Many of you people believe me to be a prophet. I don't say that. I am. You said it. But we both know that the visions comes God gives me never fail, not once. If anyone can prove a vision ever failed, I want to know about it. Now that you follow me this far, here is my story. Many years ago, when I first came across the Pentecostal people, I was in one of their camp meetings where there was such much manifestation of tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Two preachers in particular were engaged in this kind of speaking more than any of the other brethren. I thoroughly enjoyed the service and was truly interested in the various manifestations, for they had a ring of reality to them. It was my earnest desire to learn all that I could about these gifts, so I decided to talk to the two men about them. Through the gifts of God, through the gift of God resided in me, I sought to know the spirit of the first man, whether he was truly of God or not. After a brief conversation with that sweet, humble brother, I knew that he was genuine, a solid Christian. He was real. The next young man was not at all like the first one. He was a boastful, proud, and as I spoke to him, a vision moved across my eyes. And I saw that he was married to a blonde lady and was living with a brunette and had children by her. If ever there was a hypocrite, he was one. Now let me tell you, I was shocked. How could it not be? How could I not be? Here were two men, one of which was a real believer, and the other was a sinful impersonator. Yet both were manifesting gifts of the Spirit. I was troubled by this confusion. I left the meeting to seek God for the answer. I went alone to a secret place, and there in my Bible I prayed and I waited on God for the answer. Not knowing just what portion of the scripture to read, I casually opened the Bible to some place in Matthew. I read for a while, then laid the Bible down. In a moment, the wind blew in the room and turned the pages of the Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. I read it through and was particularly interested by those strange verses. In Hebrews 6, 4 through 9, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. I closed the Bible, laid it down, and meditated a while, and prayed some more. I still had no answer. And again, I opened the Bible aimlessly, but did not read. Suddenly, the wind blew into the room again, and once more, the pages turned to Hebrews 6 and remained there as the wind ceased. I read those words over and over again, and when I did, then came the Spirit of God into the room, and I believe a vision. I saw in the vision a man dressed in the prettiest white who went forth into a freshly plowed field and sowed grain. It was a bright day, and sowed was done in the morning, but late at night, after the shower and the white sower in the white had gone, a man in black came and steadily sowed some more seeds amongst that which the man in the white had sown. The days went by, the sun and the rain blessed and the ground, and one day there appeared grain. How fine it was, but a day later appeared the tares. Amen. So God's Spirit blesses those seeds and they both grow, but only one of them is true. And the one that's true is living the Word of God. Amen. The other one wasn't. He was a total impersonator. And that was from the Pergamian Church Age. All right, let's go on. Brother Branham says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. See, then it isn't your thinking. It's his thinking through you. And you're not expressing your own words. You're expressing his words. I think many of you might have remembered here a couple Sundays ago, I said, you can't live this message as a human. You can't. But if you let the mind of Christ be in you, he'll do your living and he'll do your thinking for you. Amen. And then that's what God wants. That's how many a times the brethren gets confused on interpretation of tongues and things. See, they say things that's not right. They don't realize that that's Satan. They say in the garden of God, just wait till we get through, find out if it's not or not. The weeds and the wheat grow in the same field. They both live by the same sun and the same rain. See, but if there be one among you who is a prophet, I, the Lord, will speak to him. And if what he says happens, then that's me. See, because he's not expressing his own. He is expressing my thoughts, my attributes of the things that has to come. And I'll use his mouth to express them by. And after he said them, they've got to come to pass. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. And that's from the future home of the earthly bridegroom in 64. What was the matter? Paul didn't stop just at confession. He stayed with him till he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was on fire, and he liked to burnt the city up. That's what's the matter. That's what's the matter today. We just take him in as a confession instead of taking them on to receive Christ till they're born of the Spirit of God. That's what we need today, is them all night meetings, not just saying, I believe in all of our things we do. I believe in shouting. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in interpretation of tongues. I believe in divine healing. I believe in all those things, but yet it's something better than that. It's the birth itself. It's the Holy Ghost itself coming into us. These things are fine, but you, that's good. But it's like a colored man eating watermelon. There's more of it. You've got to go on until love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ burns into your life. Then we could have a testimony meeting about what God is doing in our midst. That's right. Jesus come walking to them on the water, and they got scared. They said, oh, it's a spook. We had better not go to that meeting anymore. It's funny. They seen him return again in his power, just as he promised through the pages of this Bible. And these pages in this Bible, rather, that he would do in the last days. And it walks in, and many of people say, oh, that's just mental telepathy. That's spiritualism. That's some kind of, see, that's the same thing. And the only thing that'll save, that'll help us out of this, is to accept Jesus Christ. That's right. And that's from now, not be afraid. So next communion, we'll go over the last three. Those might be kind of long. I haven't even really started putting them together, but I know they're going to be a lot deeper, because it goes into the words of wisdom and the words of teaching. And then I can't remember what the third one is, the last one is, but we will get into those. Let us go ahead and just close the service, and then we'll go on to communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to be in your image, Father, for the people that we come around or meet, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to speak your words, Father, to be able to live and to manifest you, Father. And we know that we can do that because we have your Spirit in us, Father. I pray, Lord, that those that may not have your Spirit, Father, are struggling, Father, I pray, Lord, that they find you before it's too late, Father. Be with us here, be with those that are gathered in their homes abroad, Father, on the hookup, Father, as we partake in communion now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.